Okay, when Parshas Hazinu, page 1104. Last thing we got into a whole discussion, what does it mean God gets angry? What does it mean angry by Hashem? You know, whatever, that whole story. Okay, so basically, the last, we're starting Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. This Pasuk we learned, but we didn't finish it. Okay, so basically the Pasuk is saying, what's going to happen when you guys have it too good? It's too good for you, that's when you start rebelling against Hashem, you become thick, you start worshipping other gods, that new gods that your ancestors didn't even know about, you didn't even think about. You ignore the rock, Tzuyulot Chatesh, meaning you ignore the rock that gave birth to you, you forgot Hashem who brought you forth, okay? Now, and then it says, this Pasuk we learned, we're Pasuk Chav. Okay? So 19 it says, Hashem will see provoked by anger of his sons and daughter. That's how we got into the whole discussion about anger. Okay, so now it says like this. Oh, by the way, one more thing. The Mepharshim say, we didn't say this last time. The Mepharshim say that when Hashem gets angry, he only appears to be angry. And we're going to learn all these punishments that Hashem is giving to the Jewish people is really out of love, out of closeness, not because he hates us and he wants to get rid of us. There's no such thing. Okay, and just keep that in mind as we get going. V'yemen pasikhov. V'yemen Hashem will say, Astida pane mehem, I will hide my face from them when they sin against me. So Hashem said, I will hide my face from them. Edam moach risam, and I'll see what their end will be. So what does Hashem say? I'm not going to leave. It doesn't say Hashem is leaving. It says Hashem is concealing his face. What's the difference? So the Mepharshim give the analogy, because they're still my kids. So Hashem says, as much as you're angry, you know, it's still my kids. I can't do anything about it. So he says, sometimes you have the expression, Mashgiach min achalonis, Meitzitz min acharakim. There's a part we say it every Saturday night. Okay? In Yitzhak Lecha. No, in the Kiddush Levon. Mate, in Mashgiach min Achalainis means Hashem supervises through the windows. Meitzitz min acharak means he looks through the cracks. That's what the Pasuk says. What's the difference between looking through the window and looking through the crack? When you're looking through a window, it's a big vision. They see you, you see them. It's an open relationship. When Hashem looks in the cracks, it means there's no open relationship. It's like peeking through a little bit, but you're still peeking. But it's not as much as you do when you do it from the windows, or meitzes min acharakim. So Mepharshim explain, what does it mean over here when Hashem says, I'm going to hide my face from you? And doesn't mean I'm not going to support you, I'm not going to give you, I'm going to be there for you. But instead of having this open relationship, that just like through the window where it's a big, broad vision, it's only going to be from the cracks. It's going to be extremely, extremely limited. Why does Hashem do that? Because Mepharshim explained, and this is definitely in Chassidus, Hashem never gives up hope on the Jew. Eventually, they're going to do tshuva. As the Pasuk says, Kol yidach mimenu nidach, there'll never be such a thing as a lost Jew. Now, Rebbe explains that, by the way, and even Shulchan Aruch, he says, Bein begilgul zeh, bein begilgul ach. It might not be this time around, next time the Neshama comes down. But inevitably, the Neshama is going to do tshuva. And therefore, when Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself from you, it's not that I'm going to disappear. I'm there, but you're not going to be able to see me. It's a much different thing than Hashem says, I'm gone. Okay? Now Hashem says, I will leave my hashkocha on this. So he says, why? Ki dar tapuches hema, they are a generation of reversals. What does it mean, a generation of reversals? They turn Hashem's happiness to anger. Hashem's love to anger. That's what the people do by sinning. Kidur tapuche seima, like Rashi says, from Hashem's good mood, like it says, from Rashi, from benevolence to anger, which is another phenomenal thing. Again, like we discussed the other day, the Jews control it. The Jews have total control whether Hashem will be benevolent or Hashem is going to be angry.
The Jews have control?
That's what he's saying. What makes Hashem angry? Our actions. What makes Hashem happy? Our actions. So in other words, just think about it. The power of the Jew, because you would think, if we are so worthless, if we would be worthless, why in the world would we affect Hashem in any way whatsoever? Why would we affect Hashem? The fact that we affect Hashem shows how much Hashem loves us, that anything we do has both for good and bad. It's a nature that turns things around. God can be benevolent, we sin, he gets angry. God can be angry, do tshuva, he's benevolent. So this is the unbelievable power of the Jew.
If someone has a gezeira for whatever reason, I guess he'll change it.
Of course things change. God forbid somebody's deathly ill, you had a name and you say in case it was a decree. Tzedak and tatzel mimavis. Prayers change things. Prayer has a tremendous effect. Prayer can change things. As I've said, tzedakah changes, prayer changes, tshuva changes, everything changes. But the power of the Jew, that he can make God angry, or he can make God happy. It's totally up to us. So all these negativities, by the way, that the Torah is speaking about, you know, God gets angry at us and all that, it's not, God forbid, negative as hatred. It's negative. Hashem is telling us, look what power you guys have. You guys have unbelievable power. You can change. You can change me, God says. And like we said from the Maggid, Dam alamayla mimach simply means know what's above you. Dam alamayla mimach. The Maggid said means Dam alamayla. Whatever goes on upstairs, mimach is from you. Meaning we call the shots. Not Hashem doesn't call the shots. We call the shots. And not only that, like we learned. We learned this a few times already. But there's a remarkable concept of the Baal Shem Tov, that even punishment on a neshama when they come up after they die. Yeah? Remember we learned, but it's so relevant to this, it's such fundamental aspect in Yiddishkeit, we're going to repeat it again. Even though we heard it many times. But every time I personally say it or hear it, it blows my mind even more. There's an expression in Torah, din v'cheshbon. It says in the Mishnah, pick up, lefnei mi'ata osed litin din v'cheshbon. Before who you get, translate it literally means, you should know, when you come up there, before whom you're going to give a judgment and a reckoning. Din v'cheshbon. If you stop to think for a minute, it should be the reversed. It should be cheshbon v'din. First you make a reckoning, and then you make the ruling. You don't make a ruling and then make the reckoning. That's ridiculous, right? First you make the reckoning and then you make the din. So why does it call it din v'cheshbon? Even in Hebrew they say din v'cheshbon, right? It should be cheshbon v'din. So the Baal Shem Tov explains based on another Mishnah. And the Baal Shem Tov explains, but the Rebbe adds at the end flavor to this whole thing, which makes it remarkable. The Baal Shem Tov said, what does it mean? So the Baal Shem Tov said, this is connected to another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Another mission, Pikova says, Nifra mina adam midaiti v'shalei midaiti. Also, when a person comes upstairs, the Mishnah says in Pikova, Hashem punishes or extracts payment from the person knowing about it and him not knowing about it. Midaiti, from him knowing about it, v'shalei midaiti. So the question, what does that mean? So Baal Shem Tov explained, when a neshama comes up after 120 years, okay, they're coming up for the heavenly court for the ultimate judgment. Hashem doesn't say to the Jew, you did A, B, C, D good and A, B, C, D, E, F, G bad. Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem says, I'm in the middle of a court case. Hashem tells the neshama that comes upstairs, you know, I'm in the middle of a court case. Maybe you can help me. Hashem says to the soul, maybe you can help.
Sure, help God, why not?
So God puts in front of the neshama a court case that's going on in the heavenly court. About a neshama that comes up, and this neshama is listening to the other neshama's court case, yeah? Neshama did this, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, whatever it is. Hashem turns to the neshama, the second neshama that comes up. Hashem says, "Nu, what do you think?" So neshama, hearing all the terrible things the other neshama did, he says, "If you want my honest opinion, he's guilty. He's guilty for their behavior." So Hashem turns to the neshama and says, "Boy chick, this is you. You just made the judgment on yourself." Okay, that's what the Baal Shem Tov said. So therefore, the Baal Shem Tov said that's what the expression din v'cheshbon. First, the person proclaims the din, the judgment on himself, and then Hashem makes the reckoning, the cheshbon, that this is you. Okay, that's what the Baal Shem Tov said. So the Rebbe says in many sichas, but the Rebbe explains this, it's unbelievable. Why is it like that? What's God playing games upstairs? The guy comes upstairs, he's guilty, let Hashem say he's guilty. What's going on? It's a game up there. And the Rebbe explains, and this is phenomenal, the only one that can proclaim judgment on a Jew is the Jew himself. Not God, not the heavenly court, nobody. The only one that can make a judgment on themselves is God, is the Jew himself. And therefore, it's not a game. When the neshama comes upstairs, Hashem says, I can't make a judgment on another Jew. I mean, obviously you have to understand, this is all because this is what Hashem wants. God doesn't have to do anything. He's the boss. He can do whatever he wants. Hashem set it up in a way that the only one that can make a judgment on a Jew is the Jew himself. You know what power that is? Just think about it. The power is that Hashem says, you guys have the ability of Dardata Puches Hema. You have the ability to turn me around. If I'm in a rotten mood, Hashem says to the Jew, you guys can make me in a good mood. I'm in a good mood, you can make me in a rotten mood. Let me see what's going to be. And then he says like this, Bonim, like Amun Bom, the children whose upbringing is not in them. Meaning, the simple meaning of the pasuk, by the way, it's another beautiful pasuk. The simple meaning of the pasuk is, God says, you know, that's not the way I brought you kids up. He says, Banim le umen bam, it says in English, children whose upbringing is not in them. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Rashi says, that's not the way I raised you. Here. En gedule nikorim behem. Ki erisem, Hashem says, I showed the Jews derech tova, the good way. Vehem sarum iman, and they turned away from the good way. So simply means, God says to the Jews, you know, hey guys, you sinned, make it too good for you. You started sinning, and you know what? That's not the way I raised you. So you're not, like parents always tell the kids, is that the way I raised you? The answer is, yeah, that's the way they raised them. But what does this mean, banim le'umun bam? So right, simply again, the English is, it's the children's upbringing is not in them. But it's a very interesting, other Mefarshim learn much deeper. What's Emun Bam? What's the root of the word Emun? Emuna. And it's very interesting. The word Emuna, Uman, not the city. Uman, an expert, a craftsman, right? Uman, Maisa Uman. And Ein, mother. It's all the same root. Okay? Aim is mother. Uman is, here it means, Amun Bum is not the way I raised you. Okay? How does it get to the word Uman? Because an Uman, a worker, a craftsman, in Hebrew is called Uman, at least in the Gemara language is called Uman. In modern day Hebrew it's also called Uman, no? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, Uman Bum Lachte. Okay. What does it mean, Uman? Because he got himself used to it. The word Uman, Mufashim explained Lashon Kodesh, it means he actually trains himself. That's what it means, upbringing. Upbringing means what your nature, what you're used to. And Uman is a guy that practiced so much, this is the way his upbringing is, so to speak, of sawing or doing carpentry, whatever type of expertise the guy is doing. So, it also comes to the word Emunah, right? Emunah, faith. What he says over here, Banim le'emun bom, means a bunch of things over here. In the English it translates, like we said, your upbringing is not in that. But it also comes to the word Emunah bom. There was no Emunah in the Jews. What does it mean? Not that they don't have Emunah. The Pasuk says, Banim le'emun bom, in them. What does it mean? We learned many times in Chassidus, we learned it in this class many times too. There's a very strange Gemara. Firstly, you want to know why the Gemara says it. Like, what's the Gemara telling us? And what the Gemara says actually is reality, but it doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, Ganvo apum machtarta rachmona karya, which literally means, when a thief is about to break into a house to steal, Rachmona karya, he prays to Hashem. Okay? A thief is about to break into somebody's house to steal things, he davens to Hashem to be successful. A guy's robbing a bank, he davens to Hashem, please don't let me get caught. You know the sin is not to steal, the sin is to get caught, right? Okay, but the guy davens to Hashem not to get caught. So the question is, Chassidus has a very, it doesn't make sense. Obviously he believes. He believes in Hashem. If he didn't believe in Hashem, why is he davening? Right? Why would he daven if he doesn't believe in Hashem? So he's davening to Hashem. Obviously, he believes in Hashem. And the guy knows that you're not allowed to steal. It says in the book, right? You're not allowed to steal. So it doesn't make sense. He's davening, meaning he believes, and yet he's going against God, and he knows that Hashem doesn't want him to steal. That's why he does it quietly. Right? Because he knows you're not allowed to steal. So it's a paradox. It's a contradiction within itself. So what's the explanation? The explanation is very simple. That belief that the Ganav has is what's called in Hasidic language Ba'ifin Makif. Means it's superficial. It doesn't permeate him or her. It's superficial. Meaning it doesn't affect you directly, it affects you indirectly. What does it mean? It affects you indirectly that you'll pray. But it doesn't internalize, it doesn't permeate you, because if it would permeate you, then you wouldn't steal. Right? Stop a person that's doing something wrong. Doing anything, Lashon Hara, whatever it is. They're doing something wrong. Stop them. A religious Jew, yeah? Just doing something. Everybody does something wrong. Question is how much. Everybody does something wrong. Come to the guy and say, excuse me, do you believe in God? Well, he's in the middle of doing something wrong. Say, excuse me, you believe in God? The guy's going to smack you in the face. What do you mean I don't believe? Of course you believe in God. I'm a religious Jew. So why are you talking what you shouldn't? Why are you thinking what you shouldn't? Why aren't you doing what you shouldn't? What's the answer? It doesn't mean he doesn't believe. He believes. But that belief is extremely superficial. Okay? It doesn't permeate. In many Maimonides and Chassidus we learn that's the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Raya Mehemna, in Zohar, in Chumash, Moshe is called Raya Neman. Trusted, a faith, in English is called faithful shepherd. Yeah? The Zayar, it defines not a faithful shepherd, a shepherd of faith. There's a big difference between a faithful shepherd or a shepherd of faith. Faithful shepherd means you do your job properly. That's what it means, you do a good job. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd takes the sheep to graze, and makes them eat, allows them to eat, helps them eat, right? So what does a shepherd do? He feeds the sheep. What is Raya Mehemna, Raya Neman, what says about Meshabenu in every generation? What do they do? They're not only a faithful shepherd that takes care of the flock of the Jews properly. They are the shepherd of belief, meaning they take the belief that every single Jew has, as the Gemara says, every Jew is maminim b'nei maminim. They are believers, the children of believers, but it could be superficial, right? It could be in a way that it doesn't affect my behavior. So what do the tzaddikim do? They feed you emuna. What do you mean feeding? When you chew it, you digest it, you eat it, it becomes internalized. If you put food on your stomach, you're not going to get full. It's good for diets, maybe, but you're not going to get full. You need to feed emunah. So the pasuk is saying, according to that interpretation, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to conceal myself from you. You're a generation that's no good. You're getting me angry when I shouldn't be angry, and all that negative stuff you're doing. And then the Torah says, you know what the problem is? Not only banim le'emun bam, that they didn't have the upbringing that Hashem gave the Jews, how to behave. Hashem gave us the constitution, how to behave, and they're going against it. It's even more. The pasuk is also saying, banim, the Jews are children that le'emun bam, they don't have emun in them. In them. We said many, many times, somebody came to the Rebbe once and said, I don't believe in God. So the Rebbe said to him, the fact that you say you don't believe doesn't take away the fact that you do believe. Because the Gemara says every Jew believes. If every single Jew has a neshama believes, so why do we sin? So the answer is, because you have a muna, you have a belief. But you're breaking into the house to steal, you daven to Hashem. Because it doesn't permeate it. So what's the whole story? The pasuk is explaining, what's the cause of all sin? You don't have the emunah internalized. Not only that, and it's also connected to the word uman, meaning a worker that's experienced in making it work right. Their Yiddishkeit is not habit within them. In other words, it's not something that they, as they say in America, keep on trucking with it. It's all superficial. Okay, that's pasuk. Hein kin'uni b'leikel, they provoked me with a non-god, meaning all these things that they sin and all that stuff. Ki asuni, they got me angry b'havleyem with their vanities, meaning with stupid things. Like we said the other day, it was Rav Shimon or Rav Gamliel, whoever it was, two opinions, who it was, that we mentioned this last week. Why is God such a jealous God? Why is God such a jealous God? And the answer is, a guy leaves his wife for somebody more beautiful, better. Okay, the wife's angry, but he can understand it at least. She can understand it at least. When he leaves his wife for somebody uglier and stupider and dumber and worse than him, then she really gets angry. In other words, this is what you left me for. That's what Hashem is saying. You're getting me angry with things that are not God's. Ki asuni, you're getting me angry by blame with their vanities, with the shtusim and the stupid things. Vani akniyim b'loyam. Okay? So I will provoke them with a non-people. But goynovel achisim, with a vile nation, I shall anger them. In other words, again, Hashem, and this is not revenge. There's another, people need to understand. God doesn't need to take revenge. Revenge is a human trait, a negative human trait, by the way. Revenge, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, right? Nobody hurts God. Hashem doesn't get hurt. It is above all that. So what's he taking revenge about? Right? But Hashem says, I'm not taking revenge. I'm just telling you like this. You got me angry because of your stupidities, your vanities. I'm going to make you slaves to nations that are worthless. It's deed for deed. It's not revenge, because revenge doesn't make, that attribute of revenge doesn't make sense by Hashem at all. Because it's only something that has a connection to you, a shaykhus to a connection to you, then you can say, okay, I can take revenge. It's like a little bug, yeah, a little ant, a cockroach, taking revenge from us. I mean, that's stupid. That's not even, you can't even see they're taking revenge from us. And that's what Hashem is saying. So what am I doing? Heim kinuni b'leikel. They got me angry with other things that are not God's. Ki asuni got me angry b'avlem with your vanities. So therefore, what am I going to do? Akniyim. I will provoke them, the Jews, but with b'loy am, with a non-people, meaning a nation that's worthless. But goy novel with a vile nation, being a despicable nation, achisim, I'll get them angry. Meaning the goyim are going to control the Jews. So that's what he says. I'm just going to get you back to show what it is. And again, it's not revenge. It's consequences. It's not punishment. It's consequences. You want to have a connection with me directly, Hashem says? Then behave and do what I want. You don't want to have a connection with me? Then don't do what I want. That's it. There's nothing more, nothing less.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So why does it seem like for so many generations the non-Jewish people are in control, so to speak, of, like, in Europe, like where they lived in a ghetto or whatever, for so many years? Like, doesn't it seem like it's not so balanced? You know what I mean?
Yeah, in other words, you're asking, it seems that the punishment is outweighing the rewards by far. No?
Well, sometimes it seems like that. Mm-hmm. As a people, like, how when have we been in charge of our destiny so much, you know?
We always are. But the problem is we don't use it.
Like, wherever we've lived, we've always had to abide by their ways to make sure that we didn't.
Okay, with all that, are we still here? As a nation, are we still here? Okay. What does that show?
That's who's still aware.
I thought you were on mute.
Well, I was. You activator is still here.
No, not you. The nation is still here.
Bye. I mean, I'm on mute again.
Yeah, don't just conceal yourself. Don't leave. We just learned about that. God doesn't leave. He conceals himself. Why the Jews suffer so much?
Hashem is waiting for us to return to him, so to speak. So it's his way of, when things will be good, will we have the reward?
Okay. Let's go this route. Yeah? There's a din in the Gemara, and this used to be even in the non-Jewish, in the secular kings. The Gemara says, Man de machve b'moche kame malka is chayiv misa. Which translated, not literally, but loosely means, a person that in the presence of the king would make a slight move, he got killed. Okay? In the times of the real kings, if there was a fly, if you're standing in the presence of the king, and there was a fly in your nose, and you went like this to get rid of it, they would kill you on the spot. As disrespect for the king. In the presence of the king, there's nothing existing but the king. Okay? When Uriah Chiti, Mr. Batsheva, you know, when Uriah Chiti said in the presence of David HaMelech, he said, Adoni Yoav, my master Yoav, who was the general, and Uriah was one of the soldiers. So the Gemara says, he was Chayiv Misa, he was supposed to get killed because he was murdered by Malchus, because he rebelled against the king, because in the king's presence, there's no masters but the king. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. Based on that, okay, Hashem is the king of all kings. Yeah? Let's learn Judaism 101, or maybe 98. Judaism 98, before the 101. Hashem is all over. Hashem is king of the kings. Okay? The worst thing a Jew could do is deny the existence of Hashem. Correct? Just think for a minute. I know it's the 9 days. I'm going to speak now how the Jews should be punished and why they shouldn't. But in order to get to the ultimate good, we need to speak the ultimate bad. Even on 9 days is not the time to do it. Hashem is all over. Hashem is omnipotent, omnipresent, omni-everything that you want in the world. Hashem knows our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. There's no hiding from Him. Correct? Hashem gives us every single thing that we need in life. We wake up in the morning, it's God talking. Hello, I'm here, I woke you up, you're alive, thank me, right? We have what to eat, we breathe. You know how many things could go wrong, as we all know, in the health of a person? Okay, in the birth of a child. There's billions of things that can go wrong. And yet, Hashem is running the world, giving us everything that we need. And yet, we have the chutzpah of, in His face, right, doing something, whether it's in thought, speech, or action, either one. And we do something against Him while He's looking at us, while He's allowing us to breathe and to exist. At that moment that we are existing because Hashem is making me exist, I spit in His face, figuratively, and I do something that He doesn't want me to do. Yeah? That's reality, correct? Okay. I'll justify it in a minute. Let's first see. Now, what should be the punishment for that? If you make a slight movement in the presence of the king, not against the king, you just move, you're doomed to death. Okay. If somebody, again, I'm using the expression spit in the face, even though it's not a nice expression to use. Okay, a Jew that spits in the face in the presence of Hashem should really get killed. Correct? How much more so when it's ongoing? Which means like this. The Gemara says, any generation that doesn't rebuild the temple in its time is considered as if they destroyed it. Okay? That's a very interesting statement the Gemara makes. Okay? The Gemara, you know, just think about it. What's worse, destroying the temple or not rebuilding it? Everybody will tell you, destroying it is much worse. That's actively destroying it, passively not building it. It's not so bad. But the Gemara says no. Any generation that doesn't have the temple built in its days is considered as if they destroyed it. Why? It's very simple. It's cause and effect. We say in davening, Mipnei chatoeinu, galinu miatzeinu. Because of our sins, we're driven out of our land. Cause and effect. Sins, driven out. The second the sins stop, we're back. Right? That's what the pasuk says. I mean, the davening says. Because of our sins, we're driven out. That's the only reason. So the second the sins stop, it's like a spring. So it goes back, right? Back to Eretz Yisrael. So why aren't we in Eretz Yisrael then? With a base of Mikdash and everything? So obviously it's because we're not doing something. We're actively sinning that's not allowing the base of Mikdash to be rebuilt. Yes? Got it? Okay. So technically, if you want to think about it, whatever happens to us is nothing. Think about it, right? Technically, whatever happens to us is nothing. But God is good. Hashem is the essence of good. And the nature of good is to do good. So all this is really good. Why? Because the lower you go, the higher you go up. The more you put your hand back to throw, the further you're going to throw. The lower you bend down to pick something up, the higher you'll be able to pick it up. Okay? There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Ani kebrei shiranon, The simple meaning, Hashem says, make a slingshot. You know what slingshot is? You pull it back, yeah? And the further you pull it back, the further the stone goes. Hashem works like that also. The whole world from beginning of time until now, until the coming of Mashiach, is all a preparation for the coming of Mashiach. Okay? Now, you have good, and in order to get better, you need to break the good. Right? If you have a nice house, and you remodel it, so in order to make it better, right, you gotta break it down first. You gotta destroy in order to build. Now, if you destroy and put up the same thing you had before, then you're a fool. Right? It's like investing a dollar to make a dollar. I mean, that's foolish. Right? The Gemara says, you buy it for a dollar. The Gemara says an expression. You buy it for a dollar, not a dollar, whatever it is. You buy it for a zuz. You sell it for a zuz. That's called a businessman. You're not going to make a living buying for a dollar and selling for a dollar. So what do you need to do? You need to invest money, which means lose money. That's what investment means, losing money. But the purpose of the down is to go up. And as we know, with Hashem's help, the more you invest, in other words, the lower you go, the more you're going to make. I mean, hopefully, unless you don't know how to do business. Right? That's the way it works. So the whole world, Hashem created a perfect world. We learned this many times. Hashem created a perfect world. You can imagine, when God created the world, beginning of creation, God created a perfect world. As the Medrash says, Olam al milui nivra. The world was created perfect. Hashem saw everything, Tov Me'od, perfect. Okay? So why couldn't God leave it like that? So Hashem says, okay, that's not what I really want. Because that I can make a perfect world, no big deal. It's not a big deal. Hashem says, I want you people to make a perfect world. Because that's what he wanted. He wanted a dwelling place down here, right? Hashem doesn't want, Hashem could have brought Mashiach a long time ago. Hashem said, for me to bring Mashiach was the big deal. I want you guys to bring Mashiach, right? So Hashem creates a perfect world. And then he says, this is not good enough. I don't like this. Why isn't it good enough for me? Because for me to make a perfect world is no big deal. Hashem says, I want people to make a perfect world. Now, how do you make a perfect world? As they say in yeshiva, perfecter, or in English, more perfect, than it was before. So obviously you have to break it. Yeah? So therefore, Hashem set up the system. Adam and Chava sinned in the original sin. So now the world is broken. Now make it better. So then they make it better. Then you have something called the Vlalukva in the beginning of Jewish history, of the world history. Until now, this is all it is, a bunch of ups and downs. Okay? Then there was the flood. Then there was Avram. Then there was all, went all the way up to Matan Torah. Matan Torah, unbelievable. Put the world in a pre-Eitz Hadas state, pre-original sin state, Matan Torah did. Yeah? But Hashem said, you know what? That's great. But that's the tzaddik perfection. I want to make even a greater perfection. It's called the Baal Tshuva perfection. Because the Baal Tshuva is greater than the tzaddik, right? So how do you make a... if you have a tzaddik perfect world, Matan Torah, right? That the Jews did. The Jews got in Egypt and out of Egypt and prepared themselves. Yes, so they're making this perfect world of Matan Torah. Shem says, but that's a problem. Because... yeah, it's great, but it's not a real Baal Tshuva accomplishment. So God says, okay, breaking time again. The eagle. The Jews made a golden calf. Yeah? What was the purpose of the golden calf? What was wrong with the world by Matan Torah? Was Hashem playing games? Hashem said, you know what? The world was great. Matan Torah, better than before Eitz Hadas. But you know what? It's the tzaddik level. I want something even greater. So he made the eagle, then the Jews did tshuva, and they got this. And this is a history. First Beis HaMikdash, yeah, destroyed for how long? 70 years. Okay? What was the purpose? To have a second Beis HaMikdash. Now, that's all part one of history. After the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hashem said, now we're going for the final ultimate, which is Mashiach. Yeah? How am I going to get the ultimate elevation of Mashiach, which is, by the way, the combination of Tzaddik and Baal Tshuva and Hashem's doing and our doing all in one big chalant, in one big mishmash? So Hashem said we need a super big downer, because the super big upper can only come from a super big downer. So that's why this time, after the second temple was destroyed, at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, the Nevi'im told the Jews, you're going to be in Golus for 70 years. They knew exactly when it was going to be. They knew after 70 years, they're going to go build the second Beis Hamikdash. Right? After the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, God said, I'm not telling you when the third's coming. Because you're going to have to go down, 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 to the lowest down, that there can't be a lower down. You know, one thing. We had teachers, our teachers always tell the kids, you're the worst class I ever had. You know, that was a part of the teaching thing. So, our class, we happened not have, it wasn't a bad class, but our teacher said we're the worst class. But the class before us is really bad. So when the teacher told us we're the worst class, we said to them, even the class before us? They thought for a minute and they said, yes, even worse than them. Baruch Hashem, it keeps getting worse. Yeah? Baruch Hashem, it keeps getting worse. Okay? But why is that? Why are all these things happening? Why is Hashem concealing himself? Why is Hashem punishing, which is cleansing, by the way, not punishing. It's cleansing. Hashem is not playing games. There's a purpose. The purpose of the super downer, like you said, why is it so long that we're in this worst gullus of ever? Yeah? And one of the worst things in gullus is, like the Rebbe would give the analogy, somebody is spitting in your face, which is degrading, and you say, wow, look at this great blessing of rain. You don't even know that the guy is making fun of you. He's degrading you. And you think, this is go. Whoa, look how good this gullus is. I have this in this car. I have this in this house. I have this in this whatever it is. You know, I have the spinners. What do you call that stuff? Whatever the spinners are that the mitzvah that I have now for the kids. Whatever it is. But this is Hashem's plan. You know why? Because when the Jews are in the lowest of the low, and they still do one mitzvah, the enjoyment that Hashem has from that even one mitzvah, in that respect of Mesedas Nefesh, is greater than the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs that were done without it. And therefore, in Parshas Ba'alei Yischa, by the way, I'm not saying you have a right to sin. That's not what I'm saying. When it says in the Pasuk in Parshas Ba'alei Yischa, when it speaks of Moshe, it says, Moshe Anav Ma'ed Mikol Adam Asher Pnei Adam. Moshe was the most humble person that ever lived on the face of the earth. It says in the Zayar, that what does it mean, Moshe being the most humble person? Moshe was most humble when he saw the generations right before Mashiach. No miracles, no open godliness, problems, tzaddis, you name it. And the Jews still keep mitzvahs? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? I'm inferior to that, to those people. Those people are still connected to God by doing mitzvahs, even though there's no miracle, nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? These people, he was most humble to them. He felt these people are greater than me. So this is all actually the plan of the existence of the world. In order to get super high, you need to go super low. And therefore, the Rebbe would always use the expression, this golus, which is the worst of any possible time. What did you want?
Oh, I just want to mention an example of the Holocaust that happened.
You're getting too political now, because no, I'll tell you why. Is it worth it? I'm asking you a question. 6 million Jews dying?
No.
Why do I have to get political and get blamed? You guys can get it blamed. You say what you want and you get blamed. If you ask halacha questions, yeah, somebody would ask God halacha question, because only God can answer this question, yeah? Is it worth killing 6 million Jews to create the state of Israel? It's not such a simple question. Okay? You can't come along and say the purpose of the Holocaust was to create the state of Israel. Because you have to know, is it in a proper balance? Some people tell you, oh, for sure it is. Some people tell you, God forbid.
Hashem could create Israel without
Israel. Hashem could do whatever he wants. But the Holocaust or any of the pogroms and the Inquisition and the communists and all these things, yeah, the Khomeinis, whatever you want to, you know, recent times. This is all part of the master plan of getting the world ready for Mashiach. And that's what the Pasuk says. You're getting me angry with no gods and with stupid things. I'm going to get you enslaved to nations that are immoral, not proper people, and they're going to be the ones that are going to control you.
Even
well, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. But what's Hashem saying? This is the plan. So why are we suffering for so long? It's a very good question. Because we shouldn't be suffering for so long. Because we are Hashem's children. And therefore, regardless, he has to take care of us. Whether we behave or not, we're still his kids. As the expression, now they even made a song out of it. It's a Gemara. Benkach u benkach, banayhem. Right now, Avram Fried has a song. But it's a Gemara that Rameir says, Benkach u benkach, banayhem. They're still my kids. Hashem said, what do you want? They're still my kids. And therefore, no matter how much, coming back to the point we said before, how much the Jews get God angry, he still loves us. And we'll finish just with this one point. What did God destroy when he got angry at us? He destroyed a building. He destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, it's bad. For the last 2,500 years, we're still more, 2,000 years, we're commemorating Tisha B'Av, right? It's a mourning time in Jewish history. By the way, so I mentioned this many times. The 9/11 of Judaism is Tisha B'Av. Av is the 11th month, and Tisha B'Av is the 9th day of the 11th month. The Jewish 9/11 is Tisha B'Av. Not to compare it to 9/11, but it's a different thing. But Tisha B'Av is actually the 9th day of the 11th month in Yiddish, so it's 9/11. But what did Hashem destroy? He destroyed a building, but we're still here. Just think about it. God didn't destroy the nation of Jews. God says, okay, I'm going to destroy my building. I'm going to destroy this. You're going to have this. You're going to have to go into ghettos, and you're going to have to go into inquisitions, and you're going to have to go into prisons and whatever it is. But you know what the bottom line is? We're all here. On top of the world. Okay? Yeah. By the way, then...